Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We heard Jerry last hour talk about how Woody Johnson spoke a little bit. And, you know, that's another one of these situations where you can't win. There's nothing you can say about your current coaching staff where anybody is going to take it into account and feel better, especially coming from Woody Johnson.
Oh, so, Tiny Johnson.
Yeah. I thought Chris Johnson was Tiny Johnson, but I guess Woody Johnson was Big Johnson. Remember when Chris Johnson said that Adam Gase was coaching where football was going? That was a line that was held against him forever. And then yesterday, Woody Johnson said that Rob Saleh and his coaching staff are deep thinkers. So just stay away from stuff like that. Just still very generic, because we're never, like, that's something that's going to be used against them forever. Like,
yeah.
Oh, deep thinker.
Yeah.
You know, when they're getting pounded by the Bengals and it's 24-0 at halftime, you know what people are going to be saying? Oh, it must be the deep thinking that the Jets coaching staff is doing that's got them into this hole.
Well, also, you couple that with the Rex Ryan, you know, blistering attack. Now everybody's under fire over there in Florham Park right now.
I mean, I guess the thing that I take from that, and it's hard to take much from it, because Rex Ryan, so in the beginning of Rex Ryan's run at ESPN, he wasn't saying much. And I was surprised because we knew that Rex Ryan had a lot to say, but he wasn't saying much. And I think that he at that point had thought maybe he was going to get back into the NFL. So he didn't want to crush anybody. And then I think it came to him, the realization that, all right, he had the Jets thing that ended in disgust, and then the Bills thing didn't work out. Now he's on TV and he's a little older. He's probably not going to get another shot. And then a producer said over there, listen, you got a job here. If you want to keep it, you got to actually say some stuff. And ever since then, he has railed on people. So I always think about how he's going to, on a day where maybe there's not as much going on, hey, Rex, you want to kill the Jets today? Hey, sure, I'll kill the Jets today. Some of that's going on. But if I'm going to take one thing out of that, is how he squarely went after the coaching staff. Because that's something that I had been saying about how unprepared they look in all of these games. And I don't think that Rex, who spent a lot of time in the NFL as a coach, both a coordinator and a head coach, is going to go after a coaching staff like that if he doesn't truly believe that there's something there to criticize.
Well, I think the proof is in the performance, and the performance on Sunday was anything but a performance. They got actually steamrolled in so many different ways. You know, prior to the game, Coach Cower and I were talking about the game on the air on Sunday, and I said, look, you know, going into a game against the Patriots, most coaching staffs is probably a handful. John Harbaugh's coaching staff, Andy Reid's coaching staff, they're going to be able to go toe-to-toe with Bill Belichick and his coaching staff. So just that, from that aspect alone, the Jets are completely overwhelmed by the experience on the Patriots sideline compared to the experience on their sideline. And everybody knows that. We all knew that going in, that there was going to be a new offensive coordinator. There would be a second-year defensive coordinator, because Ulbrich was a defense coordinator in Atlanta last year. And then, of course, you have a novice head coach who now has to handle everything. And I've told you a million times that, you know, when Frank Reich got the job in Indianapolis, I was talking to him, and he goes, man, you cannot believe the amount of decisions that I have to make that have nothing to do with football.
Yeah.
And you know, they become the CEO of the team. And, you know, the guy who gets that job for the first time probably is stunned. And I'm sure Rob Saul was stunned with all the amount of things that he's asked to do. That's why they now have a chief of staff, which is ridiculous. But, you know, all these coaches now bring in, you know, 50 other coaches around them. And it's it literally is like, you know, you're sitting like the president of the United States with your cabinet members. That, yeah. You know, that's what it's like. It's ridiculous. And that's not what it's like, however, in New England. In New England, it's completely different. And they have half the amount of coaches. And, you know, they have all the experience. So I think that's what Rex was talking about in terms of just having a novice coaching staff getting schooled twice this year already by New England's coaching staff.
Yeah. I mean, they also got schooled early on in that Atlanta game, too. I mean, that was another problem. How they – and they're just – they get schooled every week in the beginning of the game. Which, and okay, you want to tell me that they've played better in second halves, and that's an adjustment thing, and that could be a coaching thing, but I mean, how much better in second halves have they played?
Well, it's also a player thing, too. I mean, you do have a lot of young players. And let's face it, C.J. Mosley was not on the field on Sunday, and if he's not on the field, then that defense is going to be lost. They lost Carl Lawson before the season started. I mean, you know, I would question that decision, too, because one of the reasons the Bengals decided to let Carl Lawson go, it wasn't because he wasn't a good player. He was a very good player, but the problem with him is that he can't stay on the field. It's kind of like Saquon Barkley. You know, he just can't stay on the field, and ultimately you just have to let a guy go. And I know that the Bengals would have liked to have kept Carl Lawson, but they totally rebuilt their defense and let Carl Lawson leave.
So you don't think right now that it's just a Rob Saleh problem? We know it's not just a Rob Saleh problem, but you're not really concerned about him yet. It's more about the roster construction and where they are in this rebuild.
Well, that's Joe Douglas's table. You know, it's on his, I should say, desk. But, you know, you and I told you this at the beginning of the year about Rob Saleh. What we have to see is what we saw the guy out in San Francisco was the defensive maniac, you know, running down the field, screaming at his players, and, you know, in a positive manner. Like, you know, I'm not saying a negative manner, but a positive manner. And he was very animated on the sideline. A head coach is completely different, and a head coach has to carry themselves a certain way. And then on top of that, not only do you have to get your team ready, but you also have to manage the game. You got to make the in-game decisions that ultimately, hopefully, are going to win the game for you. And it takes a while for these guys to actually have that kind of pressure on them and make those decisions. So he's learning, just like the quarterback is learning, just like the offensive coordinator is learning. I'm not shocked by any of this. You know, you don't want to, you know, have 50 points dropped on you. I get that, but I'm not shocked by any of the shortcomings and misgivings that the Jets have offered this season at all. Not one bit. And I think you and I said the over under for them was like 4 wins.
Yeah. 3.5, something like that.
And
yeah,
they may win a game here or not. They may not. I don't know. But I know is that none of this is unexpected as far as I'm concerned.
I know, but it's also how it looks is a thing, too. It really does. And I mean, you saw there's losses and then there's losses. Like, I remember at the end of that Ben McAdoo reign with the Giants, it was clear that the players didn't want to play for him. It was clear that they had, like, given up within games. You had guys that were quitting during practice and everything else. You're just like, okay, that's the end of this. You know, and then there's
but
other
you had the
times.
The whole Eli thing, too, man, on top of all of it.
Yeah, no, I know. Of course.
Trying to figure out how to get rid of a guy who can't play anymore.
And that was a larger conversation. But I'm just using that as an example of there's times when you know, like, the losses are worse. And there's other times where, you know, teams play. You know, I'll bring up the Detroit Lions this last week. I mean, they didn't have a shot in that game, but they gave themselves a shot in that game. And they're winless. So there's just different ways of losing that make you feel better. And this past week was one where you felt like they just had no shot from the beginning, were totally overmatched, and then it's going to continue to happen because here comes the hottest team in the NFL, or one of the hottest teams in the NFL right now, the most talked about team with this great offense is going to come in and just slap you around.
Yeah, well, the Bengals, you know, certainly are flying high. But again, you know, 2 years ago, the Bengals were a disaster. And then they drafted Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow got hurt his rookie year. They returned to being a disaster again. And then they rebuilt their defense. They drafted Ja'Marr Chase, and now all of a sudden, look where they are because of the emergence of Joe Burrow as a quarterback and the leader of the franchise. he's got a personality that, you know, when people really get to know him and they get to see him and they get to understand who he is, they're going to be shocked just at how aggressively positive and confident he is in his own abilities. He does not shy away from anything. I mean, he actually, when you listen to him on the sideline, it's borderline trash talking, like, give me the freaking ball, we're going to go win the game. I mean, it's almost, it's like that, but you would never know that from watching an interview or when I interviewed him this summer. I felt a very confident kid that knew that it was going to be his personality that was going to turn that franchise around, and he has lived up to that. So that's what Zach Wilson's got to become next year. That's who he has to become next year.
Yeah, and hopefully towards the end of this year, because one thing that we saw from Joe Burrow last year before he got hurt is that he could play. And we saw that.
Zach can play. He's just, you know, like, he's overwhelmed, man. That's all Justin Fields can play. He's overwhelmed.
What is it like for, like, I'd love to know how someone like Rob Saleh, and apparently because he never curses, and he cursed twice in the press conference, he was like, oh, excuse my language. Like, he was actually surprised that he was cursing himself in those press conferences after that beatdown to New England. But I'd love to know, when he's sitting there by himself after that loss with his quarterback going down, they're trading for Joe Flacco, everybody's just clowning on the Jets, Rex Ryan's pounding on you on a national stage. It's just like, what is he thinking to himself? Is he really thinking the stuff that he's saying? Is he really thinking, man, we're going to turn this thing around? I tell you, man, one day we're going to be a Super Bowl champion. Or is he, at this point in his career, because he's never been a head coach before, saying, oh, my God, I don't know if I can do this.
Well, no, he's not saying that. I can tell you that. And, you know, if he is a deep thinker, I don't know if he is or not. But I will say that, you know, when you are the leader of the ship, which he is, you know, he has got to stand on the bow regardless of what the situation is, and he's got to bring a positive message every single day. Every single day, he's got to bring a positive message to work. He cannot, he's the one that's got to stay above the fray. He can't get into arguing with ex-coaches and media types and, you know, people like me and you and callers calling in. You know, he's just got to be above all of that.
Yeah, I think he's above all of that.
I know, sure. Maybe in a private moment, you know, he's probably calling maybe Kyle Shanahan, some of his other mentors to help him kind of navigate some of this stuff. I think it's one of the reasons why he came out and said some of the things he said this week. But, you know, he's an impossible – they are in an impossible situation right now because of the newness of it all. As far as the Giants are concerned, that's a totally different, you know, animal, because you have a three-year quarterback, you have a second-year head coach, and – you have a team that is vastly underimproved, if that's a word, two words to put together. They just have not improved to the point where you would have thought that they would be. And when I went back and looked at their schedule and looked at those games that they lost.
I know.
I mean,
totally different feel.
It would have been, if they just would have won two of those games.
I know, especially the Washington one.
Oh.
I know. We'd be talking about a completely different team, thinking about a wild card, whatever. But now it's...
But that's all it takes. It's like inches, you know, a play here or a play there by somebody. And now all of a sudden, you know, maybe they're closer to 500 than they are, you know, three games under 500. You have a totally different feel about who they are.
I mean, it's so interesting to think about what the Giants are going to be at the end of this year, because we don't know. Like, there's no way that we can make a decision on Daniel Jones right now. We can't. It's too early, because he could go off the rest of the year, or he could curl into the ball the rest of the year. Like, we have no idea what this team is going to look like next year.
If I see five games on their schedule that they have left,
that they can win?
I mean, they're as good, if not equal, to the teams that they're playing. The Eagles, the Eagles, the Dolphins... The Eagles again, the Bears, and the Washington football team.
So that's seven right there, if you're saying they win all of them.
Well, I'm just saying, like, those are games that are winnable from the standpoint of where we stand today. Now, they're going to be playing, Patrick Mahomes, Derek Carr, and then Tom Brady.
Yeah. And by the way, don't forget, I mean, that Raiders team is humming right now. They're humming right now.
So, you know, we're going to have a really, really interesting NFL MVP race. There are right now about eight guys that you could make an argument for each of them to be the MVP of the NFL right now.
Excuse me, do you have an MVP? Yeah, I'm okay. I'm okay. Do you have an MVP vote?
Yes, I do. Of course I do.
That's right. I thought you did. You got a Hall of Fame vote too, don't you?
No,
or no,
I don't
writers.
Have one.
That's
of
just writers. Yeah.
No, there are a couple guys. I think Dan Fouts may be on that, and maybe James Lofton
really?
On that. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
They changed that up a few years back
to add some veterans in there. All right.
Just to add some different flavor to the voting mix.
Different flavor. A little different flavor.
Little flavor.
All right, very good.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's the morning show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
I just looked at Twitter. I saw our buddy Matt Hammer, News 12 meteorologist, tweet out that up at Martha's Vineyard, they had 93-mile-an-hour wind gusts up there with this nor'easter. So luckily, at least here on Long Island where I am, I don't have a ton, but I know out east it's going to get really, really ugly with these wind gusts and the power outages and the whole thing. But 93, that's hurricane-force stuff, man.
What is this, so, today, the wind?
Yeah.
It's mainly southern New England and eastern Long Island.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big deal. You guys not have any of that down in Jersey?
We got 4 inches of rain. That's what we got.
Any water in the basements?
No.
Eddie had a little water, Eddie?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, God.
Al, you're in a second-floor condo, so you're good, right?
I'm good, but I do have a basement.
Do you?
Yeah.
What do you keep
your own
down there?
Basement?
I keep, like, my bike down there, my beach chairs.
That he never used.
I never even knew you had a basement.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's called, like, a storage space, but it's a basement.
Oh, okay.
Like, do you share it with the other people?
Well, we each have our own unit. Like, I have my hot water heater and my air conditioning down there.
Right. Yeah, nice little setup there.
Oh,
is
yeah.
it bigger than your actual apartment or your condo?
It is not, no.
Oh, okay.
You worry about flooding down there.
It did flood once.
Yes, I don't understand, like, well, why we always put, like, the mechanicals in the basement. doesn't always put them. I guess unless you build a room on the side of your house that you can put all the mechanicals there.
Sure. Put them in the wall somewhere.
Yeah.
You could do that. Eddie, what do you, like, shop vac the water out of your basement down there? Like, what the hell do you do?
Well, I have some pumps and a drainage system that I can funnel it into, but it was just so much, so fast, it got overwhelmed.
Oh, so it was bad down there? Like, you were, like, stepping in and went up to your ankles or something?
Not
like that?
The ankles, but it was over your feet for sure.
Oh, God. There's nothing worse. Is it a finished basement, so it's like carpet and stuff?
No, because of this very reason.
Oh, okay. God, wet, dirty, moldy basement carpet after a storm. Ugh. Well, good luck, Eddie, getting that out of there.
Thank you.
Good luck to everybody with the rest of this nor'easter. Jerry is here with his update. What's happening there, Jerry?
Powered by Superbook, now open with better odds and favorable prices. We're also brought to you by Jackpocket. Play official state lottery games on your phone, and a solid night for your Knickerbockers.
Walker for three. Got another one. Kemba's having a night. After three straight threes, Julius
Randle's got one of them and assisted on the other two of them.
Stan Van Gundy right there with Brian Anderson on TNT. Kemba Walker, the three, hit five of them on the night. Knicks wound up beating the Sixers 112-99. Evan Fournier with a big game. He had 18. And Randle, who you heard alluded to there, wound up with 16 points and 11 boards.
You know, it's amazing. Mike Breen wasn't working last night, and I still saw him there.
Sure, why not?
They didn't announce him as a celebrity. That bothers me a little bit. But he was sitting right there courtside, unless he was doing radio or something. I don't think
I would doubt that. I don't.
He didn't
have
a mic in front of his face.
Yeah, he's probably just there actually enjoying the game as a fan, which is a very rare thing for him, right?
Right. I mean,
you don't get that opportunity. Here was Julius Randle. Had a bad taste in his mouth after that Magic loss.
Yeah, I was sick, man. Like, I didn't go to sleep till like 4 o'clock. Because I was sick. Everybody else was sick that we let that slip, you know, but... You know, we need those games like that.
And, of course, the Magic play in Orlando, as we know, and there was some conversation on the Carton and Roberts show, somewhat related to Orlando, if you will, as Evan told us.
I wanted that D.
Yeah.
What?
What's the matter?
I wanted that D.
Man, I tell you, he's working blue these days, at Evan Roberts.
Yes.
Gets there in the afternoon with Craig, and all of a sudden he's working blue.
Yeah. So looking for the Disney D is what he's looking for.
Oh.
What'd you think I meant?
I have no idea what he meant.
Well, he said it, not me.
I wanted that D.
Yeah.
Hey, good for you.
Hey,
good
for you. I gave her the D.
What?
I gave her the D.
Oh, my God.
I thought he wanted it,
but he gave it to her.
Maybe it's you know, both ways situation.
Hey, you know what? To each his own. That's what I say. So here's Tom Thibodeau. He wasn't talking about the D in Disney World. He was talking about the P in Philly, and they're really good.
Embiid's a load to deal with. Harris is a load to deal with. You know, Curry, he puts enormous pressure on you as well.
And yet they were still
able to win. Why don't we just say it like it is? They have no point guard. They have no point guard to speak of.
How about that?
And you should have won the game, and your point guards dominated the game. They scored 32 points combined. They split the minutes 20-28, and both your veteran point guards did exactly what they should have done.
And here is Kemba Walker talking about being on the same team in New York with Derrick Rose.
D. Rose is the guy who I actually played against in high school in the Garden. So, you know, for us to be in the same team right now is pretty dope.
Pretty dope for sure. New York will be in Chicago tomorrow night, and I heard I was listening to Tom Thibodeau a few minutes ago. I guess it's Joakim Noah night there. So a very cool thing. He coached Noah in Chicago, and so it'll be... I'm just
when,
telling
when,
you.
When are the when's Knicks going to have Joakim Noah night? I wish they'd pay him for not playing.
Right.
Where I mean, he was our Kyrie Irving.
Oh, God. Just absolutely terrible. That was one of the worst signings I've ever seen in my life. He was on a yacht with somebody not that long ago, Joakim Noah. And I wanted, I made a mental note of it. Now I forget. But he was on a yacht, all buzzed up, having a great time. And I just thought about his time here with the Knicks. And I was thinking, man, that was another one of those great Phil Jackson situations.
That's what I need. I need to be on a yacht, all buzzed up.
Oh, hell yeah, man.
Yeah.
Didn't he show up to one of the opening nights in a dress?
Yeah.
He did, right?
I mean, it was a dress. It was some sort of garb. But, yeah, Joakim Noah.
Yeah, very strange.
The big Phil Jackson signing.
Yeah, that's right.
I did a great job. Phil Jackson.
Oh, my God.
Nets take on the Heat tonight. We'll have that for you on The Fan. Mavericks beat the Rockets 116-106. I'm going to play you a highlight, then I'll explain why.
Doncic back on the floor. So is Bullock for a straightaway three. Missed it. The dunk is there. Dorian Finney-Smith, nobody blocked him out.
All right, so you heard at the beginning there, back on the floor. It was not the blowout game, but it was, you know, relatively tight. Yet, the big story with this Maverick game, as the Jazz radio broadcasters would tell us.
Kind of a weird one tonight, by the way. Dallas beat Houston 116-106. What's weird about it, Ron? Dallas played all 15 guys.
Now, I play this for you because you're going to hate this. You're going to hate this. So now I get you back to Jason Kidd. Post-game talks about how they collaborated to make the decision to play all 15 guys.
This came, you know, to me this morning through the council that we have and those players that I talked to thought this was a great idea, so I was with it.
Leadership council they've put together between the coaches and the players, and he also says... This is kind of akin to everyone gets a trophy, if you will. He says everybody's a pro. They deserve to play.
It's a really cool thing, right, because we talk about team sports. And to have all 15 play, and they knew that they were playing.
You know, I will say this. He was a former player.
He was a former player.
So
I don't think this is going to be every night. I think this is always their home opener.
But I think if he's down with it and the players perform and they give him the effort that he wants, it may not be a bad thing, actually.
The leadership council going to the coach and saying, play every one of us, and him saying yes.
Well, Luka Doncic, it sounds like, because he wouldn't say who was part of it.
He was
sounds
like the guy, the impetus of it.
And in favor of the committee, if you will.
The more you talk, you know, the better. Especially at these meetings, you know, on the court, off the court. Talking souls things, you know. So I think it's a good idea.
I know. I remember when Al came up to me and said, look, you know, I want to form a leadership council for the softball team. I said, get the hell out of my office.
I'm the leadership council.
We got the leadership council. We'll let Craig think that he's a little bit of a leader and, you know, play shortstop and lead off and everything else, whatever. But, you know, at the end of the day, we all know who's making the decisions around here.
Your team.
Yes.
Warriors beat the Thunder 106-98, so Golden State out to a 4-0 start like Chicago is. World Series game one to the Braves.
1-0 pitch. Hit in the air to deep left. Field spinning around out and left is Bradley, and that one disappears. A two-run home run for Duvall, and it's 5-0 Atlanta here in the top of the third.
Yeah, got out to a nice early lead, wound up holding off Houston 6-2 for the 1-0 series lead. That was Braves radio with the call. Brian Snitker loved it, but at the same time says, geez, a little early.
I'd rather get a 5-0 lead after the seventh inning than when we did, because they have so much time to come back.
Although they did not on this night. Now, Charlie Morton started for Atlanta, left the game in the third, hit by the comebacker. Turns out he had a fractured lower part of his leg. He tried to continue.
Not really.
No, I didn't say broken. I said a fractured part of his lower leg.
Yeah, Al doesn't like that terminology.
I thought you did.
Well, I don't care what Al likes.
I didn't say
just
broken.
One guy.
I didn't say a broken leg. A fractured part of his lower leg.
He hurt his leg. That's all.
He fractured it.
The bone is chipped, or he's got a crack in it. That's a fracture. It
didn't break.
We didn't say broken.
We said
fractured.
I saw a headline.
I didn't use it, though.
Well, Jerry's not using the headline. Jerry is reporting it correctly.
Fractured fibula is the official diagnosis from the x-ray, unless you don't believe the x-ray tech.
No, I do believe that.
Okay. Max Fried the start tonight, game two, as Atlanta will try for that 2-0 lead. Also, I thought this was interesting. The Mets don't have a GM. They don't have a manager, yet they decide to retain their pitching coach.
Yeah, why not?
What if the new manager doesn't want him in Jeremy Hefner?
Tough. He's getting them. That's that.
Yeah, they announced that yesterday.
It doesn't matter.
No.
And I guess they're zeroing in on the right-hand man of the guy that they actually wanted from the Brewers. So...
This is such a mess.
Can't get that guy. Is
what about
a guy
the left
like
hand
you?
Man? Who's the left hand?
He'll
man?
Be next when this guy says no. Don't worry.
Jabril Peppers of the Giants done for the year. Ruptured ACL, a high ankle sprain. Yeah, terrible. Roger Goodell said the NFL's investigation into the Washington football team will not be released in an effort to keep private those that came forward to help.
What a Fugazi excuse.
I know I have running out of time. Here was Goodell.
We're very conscious of making sure that we're protecting those that came forward. They were incredibly brave, incredibly open, and we respect the pain that they probably went through all over again to come forward.
Yeah, sounds good. You can redact their names.
You can protect
them in other ways.
Yep.
This has just got, we're protecting one of our guys at all costs. You know,
that's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Yep. Flames beat the Devils.
I wonder how many
people
would want to buy the Washington football team.
Oh, a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, what is it worth? $5
billion? He's probably.
And maybe a new owner could get a new stadium downtown Washington. I think that's what they're trying to do. I don't think he, you know, Daniel Snyder is very well respected down there in the Washington area.
What would you say? What do you think? 5,000, you said?
$5 billion? Somewhere. You know, I mean, it's a Washington football team in the nation's capital. Now, I know the team stinks, and it's been under in immense scrutiny and intense scrutiny over the last 5 or 6 years, but...
Well, they are valued by either Forbes or SI, I can't tell, at $4.2
billion
right
now. Yeah, okay. So, yes. I mean, like, and I know that he is not popular amongst other owners either.
I would not think so.
I'm just saying, if he has emails where there are topless cheerleaders, and he's a part of the email chain,
right?
But they're protecting him because he came forward. He was brave.
I'm telling you, if that's the case, how the hell does he keep that team?
He shouldn't. He shouldn't.
And the NFL is so worried about all their, you know, their owners and their protecting the shield and all that other stuff. This ain't protecting the shield,
right? But isn't this an opportunity for Roger Goodell to look good? I mean, it's sort of like the Adam Silver, Donald Sterling thing, where it's a no-brainer. Just like you're talking about, if that actually, there's Daniel Snyder had topless cheerleaders in his email, isn't this like a slam dunk
for
Roger Goodell to say, get the hell out of here?
I would think it would be a very serious situation. I mean,
so,
like,
why is he being protected?
He's one of 32, and
but
I don't know,
likes
man.
Him? Nobody likes him. I mean, do the other owners like him? Do Roger Goodell like him? The people that the other Washington football team minority owners hated him.
That's what it feels like. I don't know, man. This is
seems like a mess.
I think if everything that's being reported is true about these emails.
Yeah, he can't be there.
I don't see how he can be.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Geo.
It's ouble outside like a bastard.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say, I hope you don't lose power, you know. I'm sure that generator will come in handy that you got.
It will come in handy. I do have the generator. It's all good.
One thing, I was reading a story today as I was doom scrolling.
Oh, very good. I can't wait for this.
All right, so NYPD is pounding dirt bikes into scrap metal. Okay. I don't know if you know this. So over 3,000 dirt bikes, I think, have been confiscated. And also the quads, too, that we're seeing out on the streets, like in the middle, you know, just flying up and down like Fifth Avenue or out on the LIE.
I hope that they're sending that scrap metal to pass.
Scrap metal. So anyway, there's a big argument saying that this shouldn't be going on. But the problem is that, you know, these things aren't registered. There's no insurance. There's no turn lights or any of those things. And motorcycle and ATV deaths have risen significantly, you know, this
year. Darwinism. Yeah.
Right. It's a quality of life crisis.
Yeah, they're all over the place. I mean, in this short amount of time that I'm driving in the city.
Yeah.
That's all I see. Well, I shouldn't say that's all I see, but I see a lot of the bikes especially. I haven't seen as many of the ATVs, but I see a lot of the bikes.
Well, there's a lot of these ATVs as well, and so they're being brought over to Staten Island and crushed, which I think, you know, is probably good news for the manufacturers of these things, because as many guys have lost their bikes, have basically said, you know, you can take our bikes, but we'll just go get another one from somewhere.
Oh, perfect. Look at that. So maybe there's a conspiracy theory there. Maybe there's people working hand in hand. Everybody gets new bikes. All right, let's go to Greg, called from the Jersey Shore. What's going on, Greg?
Hey, guys. Thanks for doing what you do every day. The Mike Tomlin thing, I was just wondering, when I saw that, I thought, why is he offended at something that should be taken as a compliment? I mean, I know the answer to my own question. At least I think I do. I was just wondering what you guys thought.
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit earlier. I think, first off, he wanted to make sure there was no room for interpretation on his answer, because he's probably seen so many other guys not answer it as defiantly as he's answered it. So he really wanted to make it seem like he wasn't interested. So he accomplished that. And then I think the other part of this was the fact that he really was sort of taken aback that people would think that he would leave the Pittsburgh Steelers job for a college football head coaching job. There's no job in college football that is more prestigious than the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. So he was sort of saying, do you really think I'm going to willingly leave this job and go and coach college football and have to recruit and deal with boosters and academics and all that garbage? Are you kidding me? I mean, if I got fired, we could talk about it, but I'm going to willingly leave this job? That is insanity. So I think that's where he was coming from.
Yeah, and again, you know, he did get a little bit perturbed that, you know, that Sean Payton and Andy Reid weren't asked the same question. Well, the reason they weren't was because, you know, Carson Palmer brought up Mike Tomlin specifically on the Dan Patrick Show.
Yeah.
And that's why he was asked the questions, and that's what we were wondering what was coming his way when he did get in front of the media yesterday. Remember, we were talking about this yesterday morning, and then how he was going to react to it. And I appreciate the way Mike Tomlin reacted to it, because as hard a job as it is being an NFL head coach, there are certain jobs that carry more cachet than others. And because of the success that the Pittsburgh Steelers franchise has had over the years, as you can see through all the amount of people that are going into the Hall of Fame, that's not a job that you want to lose. That's a job you want to hold on to as long as you possibly can. And that's a family, the Rooneys, that if you work for them, they are extremely patient and understanding, and really don't ever get pushed to the brink to fire somebody because of public pressure. They don't react that way to it.
No, and that's why they've had three coaches since, what, 1969?
Yeah, you know, the Bengals, I hate to say this, but the Bengals and the Steelers run their situations very similarly. You know, Marvin Lewis lasted 15 years in Cincinnati, much like Bill Cowher did, much like Mike Tomlin is now.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, Sam Weish lasted, I think it was 9 or 10 years, I guess, 9 years. But once they get a hold of somebody that they like Zach Taylor now, you know, a lot of people were thinking, oh, they're going to fire him last year, you know, after Joe Burrow went down and they had a bad year and Ryan Finley came in and all this other stuff. But then they went and fixed their team this year, and then Joe Burrow now has ascended to that refined NFL quarterback level that now they could build the rest of the team around him, because they don't have to pay him all that money over the next 2 years. I mean, they're still paying him a lot of money, don't get me wrong, with the first overall pick, but they're not spending $40 million a year on him, so they can now support him with other players around him.
And speaking of college football head coaches, James Franklin of Penn State head football coach, had a really, really bad day yesterday during his press conference. So in two different instances, he didn't know who they were playing this week. So they're playing Ohio State, and he's sitting in this press conference, and he starts off by saying that it's going to be a tough challenge for them going to the Big House, which is not Ohio State, that's Michigan. And then later on in the press conference, he was asked about, you know, his name being linked to other jobs around the country like USC and LSU and whatever. And he said that they're focused on Illinois this week. They're playing Ohio State. So obviously his brain is completely scattered right now with everything that's going on. But that was like a what the hell is happening moment with James Franklin. And that was getting going viral yesterday because the guy seemed to be just completely losing his mind. Sean's in Chicago. What's up, Sean?
Hey, Shawnee. What's up, boys? Boomer and Gio. Oh, yeah,
Shawnee, Sean. What's happening?
Just a thought on Mets manager Ozzie Guillen. I know he got a look in San Diego. What do you boys think about him in New York?
Oh, man, he would be so much fun.
We would love him.
He would be so much fun. I would absolutely love it. I would. He is not afraid. You want to replicate, and I understand he had some success and then fell apart there with the White Sox. You want to replicate Alex Cora, go get Ozzie Guillen. But the problem is, I don't know if whoever the Mets decide to hire at GM and VP of baseball operations are going to want to deal with that, because Ozzie Guillen's not going to comply.
Well, I think part of taking the job is that you're going to have to morph into somewhat of what they want you to be, but also still being the tough guy in the dugout that, you know, if somebody's not running out, ground out to first base or, ground out and not running out to first base, or somebody is, going through a tough time, a slump or whatever, I mean, he's not going to be afraid to call them out. I don't know. And plus, I don't know if he has the connection that a Cora would have with his player. I'm not sure. I like Ozzie's would be a great personality to be here. There's no question about it.
You want to add some juice to that organization, bring him in right away. His press conferences would be phenomenal. And he trashes everybody. Absolutely trashes everybody that he doesn't like. It is tremendous. I would absolutely love to see that. That's the type of manager I want. It doesn't have to be an old school guy. It's got to be someone with a little personality, someone with a little bit of edge. So I don't
see him opening his press conference with, we're going to love our players like they've never been loved before.
Yeah, right. He's going to be like, I'm going to hate these players more than they've ever been hated before. All right.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this.
It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.